Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Low Down and Dirty, presented by Garage Talk Live, the place to get the lowdown on dirt track racing from the greater Northeast and beyond. We plan on getting you up to speed and informed on all the latest news in the world of dirt track racing. From the mile at Syracuse to the bull rings of the Midwest, we've got you covered. So get ready for the fastest hour on Blog Talk Radio. And here, with their elbows up and the loud pedal down, your hosts, Joe Adams and Brian Whippy Whitman.
Yo, we're up.
Unmuted. Hello, folks. Whippy, low down and dirty. No Tuesday night. In the house, we got Miss Tina Rogers. Happy birthday. Mercy's here. And Mr. Mike Feltenberger. So we're going to talk to Granby Speedway tonight. Next Saturday, or this coming Saturday, is practice, and April 6th is the opener. So we'll be committed every Saturday now from now on. There's nothing wrong with that. Hey, had some racing this weekend. Low Down Dirty Crew went to Big Diamond. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. We got story number three of the incident.
Uh-oh.
of the infamous, did he run into him? Did Varen spin out?
I don't know. I'll let you tell the story.
We got proof now. Young Money, Kyle Larson, shows up out there in California and wins in the World of Outlaw race.
Comes up on Tony's plane, right?
Yeah. Hey, Tony, I need a ride. You know, what is
it? Can I have a ride to the races?
Can I hitch a ride? Not a car ride, neither. A plane ride to race for the World of Outlaws. And he picked up the win. They had 45 cars. He beat Tim Keating and Donnie Schatz. Darren Pittman was fourth. And Paul McMahon was fifth. And then breaking news coming out of that Paul McMahon team, they're going to run the whole tour for the World of Outlaws.
They signed a contract to sign to run that whole series, and that's good for Paul. Bad for
Central PA. I mean, and we're just checking this out with the points with the World of Outlaws. Darren Pittman's leading. Paul McMahon is second. Joey Sedano's third. Slamming Sammy, Donnie Schatz, Cody DeHara, Davey Gravel, Craig Delansky, Craig Kinzer, and Kerry Mattson.
Now,
here is the Pennsylvania connection.
Right.
Think about it. Who's all been a Pennsylvania regular out of them?
Out of that top 10, I think Pennsylvania is pretty respectable there.
Yes, it is.
You got Mr. Pittman.
Yeah. Cody DeHara.
And Paul McMahon.
Yep. David Gravel.
All got Pennsylvania connections.
Yeah, so you can't beat that. And next up for them, they're at the I-30 Speedway throughout Arkansas and then Missouri. And that was pretty good. But then, Sunday I went to Big Diamond. Scotty was there. Tammy was there. Opener for Big Diamond. The place looked good.
It really did.
They got new bleachers, new boards up for the bleachers. So it looked pretty good. New paint. The flags going in were pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. I like that. And the fencing and everything they put up. Great surface. Got to give them an A on that.
I think it was. Even though there was...
Even the hole, the rut, whatever you want to call it.
It added character.
it added character to the race. And in for the win, it was Craig Van Dorn over Kevin Albert, John Kellner, Bobby Varen, Dwayne Howe. Gee, imagine that.
Yeah, I wonder what that's all about.
But they were the race, actually. Varen and Dwayne Howard.
They were. They ran side by side for a lot of laps.
Oh, great racing.
Yeah.
Great racing. And they had a little incident. And Varen, well, they put Dwayne to the back because Varen, they say Dwayne got into Varen.
Now.
The Queen has come through with evidence that she was right there in front of it. And folks, I don't think you could put a finger in between there, but. Dwayne never touched him.
He never touched him away. You know, the way
According
Tammy
to
has
the pictures.
Tammy has pictures. She was sitting in the first in turn one down there. If you're filming with Pink Diamond, they've got that photographer stand in turn one, and she was right next to it and snapped a series of pictures that proved positive.
Dwayne never touched him.
Hmm.
And man, if he didn't touch him, he sure damn came close.
Yeah. Now, it would be nice to talk to Dwayne and ask him. Dwayne, did you really touch him or didn't you? See what he'd say.
I would think he would say, but I did touch him. Because you know what? Now here's the kicker. Because now I think about this. Dwayne went down the front straightaway and went at the flagger and had his hands up. He did, and I seen that.
Oh, okay. I didn't see that.
You know, like a gesture, like, yo, I didn't touch him.
I didn't touch him. Yeah.
But where I sat and turned at the starter stand, I ain't kidding. Dwayne just looked like he didn't have no brakes.
You, me, and everybody included on that front stretch thought for sure he ran into him.
What did you? You just went, oh shit!
Oh shit!
That's all you said. Like, it's gonna be ugly.
Yeah.
And now there's that. Now so there's a third story. And people say, well, Baron checked up for the lap car. In those pictures, there ain't even a bumper of a lap car. So
no, that's not true. They were running by themselves.
Yeah,
Craig was behind him by a few car lengths. You know.
And he hit Howard after Howard.
Actually, the only contact that was made
was Howard
and
Craig Van Dorn. Yeah. You know. So now that you think about it, I mean, did they make the right call?
I don't.
You know, at the time they did.
Yes, at the time.
At the
With
time.
The evidence that they had at the time.
Yeah, you know, they made the right call.
And if you have a different view of this, right,
and
you want to call in,
646-649-1899. Good job. That's a number. Let's hear your opinion of it. But where I sat, it looked like Dwayne just drove over him. But they all charged back up through and Varen got fourth. You know, I would like to see Varen there every Friday night.
Yeah, that would be
good. It's not about that 19 car. That thing runs. With him in it.
Yeah.
And nothing against Tom when he ran, but when Varen runs it, that thing that's like a great bait, man.
Yeah, I think Bobby's a good communicator on what the car needs, and let's face it, Tommy's good at giving it to him.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a good piece, you know.
Yeah. And, no slouch.
No, there's no slouch at all, you know.
Now, the rest of the story, from what I heard, that happened, there was an incident that happened at New Egypt between Bobby and Dwayne. I don't know the particulars, but they did get together in the heat race. And I guess if out of that incident, and people can call in and correct us if I'm wrong, that Dwayne bent a frame in that incident, you know, so I don't know if there was a little bit of leftover from that or what, you know, but they were racing close on Sunday. That's all we know.
Would that have been in the 126?
They were. He was in the 120. Yeah, he was in the 126.
Well, I bet you Heinemann didn't like that. And I got to give a shout out to that Andy Burkhart.
Talk about wrecking.
What a wreck. Poor guy.
Talk about wrecking equipment.
Glad he walked away from it.
Yeah.
But opening day, flipping down the back straightaway, not good way to start the season.
No.
He's got the Corey Haas bug.
He does.
Yeah.
Let's hope he doesn't do it again this week.
Let's hope we don't do it again this week.
Yeah.
You know. And then speaking of Lincoln, was it Cole Duncan, the young buck
Cole
out
Duncan.
Of Ohio?
Yeah, young buck.
Shocks him, actually. And he beat the Edge. I bet you the Edge was wondering, who the hell is this kid?
No, actually, he was at Lincoln before. I think.
Right.
He's,
but he's usually not. He, you don't have nothing against the kid, but he don't run, you know.
But did he? But he beat the best. When you read down the top five, even down to the top ten, I mean.
And you got Brian Montes, you got Brett Marks, the Godfather, Freddie Raymer, Hodnett, Dietrich, Corey Haas, J.J. Grosso.
Siegel,
Lance DeWeese. I mean, jeez.
He beat them all.
So. And that's cool. I'm glad to see that. I like to see, you know. That's good.
For sure.
And then, New Egypt Saturday. Unfortunately, surface was not the greatest. I did not attend, but I heard. And in for the win was Jimmy Horton.
Yep.
Which is awesome.
The timeless. Jimmy.
Yeah. How old's Jimmy, Mike? 55? Jimmy Horton. 56 now. So he passed the double nickel.
Yeah.
You know?
Still
putting it on.
Yep.
I remember him winning Super Dirt Week.
Yeah, there you go.
Super Dirt Week.
That was a few years ago.
Yeah. And Jimmy blew it, gets a second.
Yep.
And rumor has it he's coming to Bridgeport.
Yeah, I think he's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think that's a rumor. I think that's a definite. He's going to be at Bridgeport.
Yeah, Ryan Godown, Rick Laubach, Craig Van Dorn. Van Dorn had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah, first and a fifth.
Yeah.
That's paying the bills.
Baron got a fourth and a sixth.
There you go.
You know, Danny Johnson was seventh. Eighth was Pat Ward. Neil the Wheel. Hey, Frank Cozy got 16th. And Frank looked good in the Concy Sunday.
Yeah.
When you start on the pole in the Concy, you're going to look good.
Yeah, but he didn't look too good in his heat, though.
No, in his heat race, he didn't look good.
No.
No. Him and I won't mention a car.
We don't want
to start no stuff, but another car, they made contact, and Frank didn't have a left front.
His initials are RS. Oh, did I get
that? Oh, jeez, Yeah, and it's blue this year. That's all we're saying.
Okay, that's it.
We're starting crap. Oh, and then a sportsman, Jordan Umpelhauer won.
Oh, yeah, Jordan. Yeah.
So, big win for him. That's good to see.
Yep.
Give a shout out to him. And
the sportsman put on a good show up there.
Unfortunately, I did not stick around for the sportsman's. I'm sorry, guys. I left.
It was getting a little cold.
I left. But then the top 10, it was Mike Glass, Ray Woodhull, and Bad Brad. It's Bad Brad, not Paw Paw. It's Bad Brad. That's Bad Brad Breitbell. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said he liked it, too. I remember he told me that. So.
Yeah.
Stick with Bad Brad. Yeah. And Dougie Hendricks, which is last year's track champion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the surfer boy. He's a cool kid. So, but, yeah, I'd give a big diamond an A. I would give him an A.
Oh, I got to give him an A. Overall.
It's a few little glitches, but.
For a spring, first.
My only complaint is bigger bag of popcorn for $1.50.
Okay.
That's all. That's it.
All right.
That's all.
Well, I think.
No.
I mean,
I'm getting
if that's all you have
for $1.50. I want like a size of about a microwave bag, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you want double that?
Yeah, double that.
You want double
what I got.
No.
Just give me two, man.
But if that's all you have to complain about.
That's all my only complaint was. only complaint was. That's it. Place looked good.
Did.
So.
Polished it up nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they took the polish off those cars, though. There were some.
Well, man, didn't that Strunky car look pretty, though? Vinny Salerno's car?
Yeah, we went down in the pits before the races, and, man, it looked fast just sitting there.
Sitting there with no wheels on it.
Yeah, it was fast.
It looked fast. And chrome bumpers.
Chrome bumpers.
Chrome bumpers on that four. Strunky.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean.
Well, they might have been stainless, but it looked like chrome.
Like chrome.
And
you almost wanted to just play that song that country dude sings, Chrome. It was shiny, man. But they all look pretty. I like them all. They're all even the Roadrunners.
There were some really nice ones.
Looking Roadrunners.
Yeah. They're not too nice after after Sunday.
They had 22 of them.
Yeah. That was a nice field.
You rode it. 22 and right next to it. Holy shit.
Oh.
22.
And I sat next to that Killian gang. Oh, my gosh.
Them Roadrun people, man, don't mess with them.
They're serious.
Yeah. They don't mess around.
No.
And they don't just bring one or two people with them.
Are you kidding
me? They bring a group.
There was like 15 of them there for Killian.
Yeah. And they like their racing, man.
Yeah, they do.
So you got to give it to them.
Yeah.
So.
Passionate. We'll call them passionate.
Passionate racing fans.
Yeah, they were passionate.
So, but that's cool. That's
oh, if you
it.
Hear if you hear it in the background, they're having a party here. I think
Yeah.
I'm glad. I guess we weren't invited, Webb. I don't know.
We got Joe over here designing. Who are you designing for tonight? Concrete construction. Oh, that's just cool.
Oh, big secret. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll just tell them the initials. It's a Delaware. See, Joe's all the way in Delaware.
Jeez.
Oh, and Howard was not in the four car. He was in the Eastern Rigging car.
That's right.
So, I wonder.
That's the best I've seen that car go.
Yeah, that's the best that 11's ran in a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, sorry, Eastern Rigging crew, but.
Let's give a shout out to Hoffman, though. Keith.
Hey, who called Keith Hoffman as his pick for the race?
Oh, yeah. Before the feature, Whip's there. Pick who's it going to be? And I said, Craig. And you said, no, it's going to be Keith.
Keith Hoffman. Yeah. Son of a gun, if he almost got the lead.
Yeah. Well, you know, he did have the lead coming out of three one time, but couldn't hold it.
Right.
But they put on a good show. Him
you
and Craig.
Yeah. If you didn't know Bobby, that was Keith Hoppin, and you thought it was Bobby Gunther Walsh, he was driving the wheels off it then.
Sure was.
Keith ran it good. I'm glad to see he's got a good, that's a good ride.
Yeah. But Keith had a busy weekend. He was down there, had got his place open there at Bridgeport, and had a practice. They had a ton of cars down there for practice, I heard. And then he comes up and runs that race Sunday. He had to be a tired boy Sunday night, I would think.
But, yeah, he ran in one car, Bobby Gunther Walsh's car, real good.
Yep.
A lot of that was good racing. Good racing Sunday. I'm done. I'm ready for it now. I got one under the belt. But I've become become a fair weather race fan.
Oh,
not been a lot.
Whip comes to me, you know, like before the feature says, I'm cold, I'm a fair weather racer, I'm getting old, you know. Jeez, Whip, come on.
Yeah. I have my Carhartts in the truck. I wear them Monday through Friday. I refuse to put them on.
Put them on.
Like, no. I'm not putting them on.
Yeah.
You know, but I survived.
Yes.
I made it.
All did. And it was a good crowd up there. He had a real nice crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I can't, like I said, that's my only complaint, popcorn. Other than that, we're cool. Yeah. And thank you for the credentials. Appreciate it. You know, that's very nice one. So, I don't know. We have issues.
We have always had issues here.
Oh, yeah.
You got to log in here.
Oh, all right. Do I got to do that?
Oh. Yeah, Whip's got to log
in.
Don't
say it out loud, right? So I'm going to go. I'm going to mute.
Okay, everybody, here's Whip's password for Skype. Oh, no, I won't do that. Because you'll never guess his.
Probably
never,
the only one who does will be my ex-wife.
Yeah.
There's a hint.
Answer, yeah.
Nobody would ever be able to figure out his Skype name either.
No. No, it's easy. All right, I did it, and it didn't do nothing.
Oh, man.
So, I'm still you on the headset. You know? So.
Hey, Whip, who's opening up this week now? What's going on this week?
Well, Friday we got, Friday now, just Friday, you got Linda's, and you got Williams Grove. Just, that's openers.
Right.
And then that's the, you know, opener 600. Wing was 600 at Linda's.
Right.
That should be pretty wild.
Yeah.
And then it's 410s and 358s at the Grove.
No. Super Sportsman.
Oh,
yep.
I apologize. Why aren't
there'll be about 45 of those things.
That'll be a long. Yeah, they put on a good show.
Yeah.
But the Yankees, so the Yankee Stadium will open up. It's a sprint
car. Yankee Stadium opens.
And then Saturday is Grandview's practice.
Correct.
And then
Bridgeport's opener.
Doug Hoffman 60 over special event, which has got about 45 cars already.
As of now.
Yeah. And we're not talking, all the dogs are coming. All the dogs are getting off the porch and running this show.
And they should for the tribute to Doug. That's a good thing to go through.
Sealance Grove's racing Friday night too. And Saturday they have 350. That's where the 350 is. In the sportsman. Late models, street stocks, and four cylinders or whatever they run there. We got four divisions. And Port Royal, probably, too.
Right.
What about Hamlin? Practice, anything?
No, they're the second.
Okay.
Then the following Saturday, I got an email from Bob Snyder.
Okay.
You want to give us results for Borger Speedway?
We can do that.
Yeah. I told him, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I say no to anybody. I don't say no to anybody. That's just my problem. You know?
That's
a pavement track.
You know what? That's what your ex said, too. You know?
Yeah. No. We won't.
I'm sorry.
But there's some.
Schellhammers. Yeah.
So I'm kind of thinking I'd like to see that 600 wingless at Linda's.
Like, go for it.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle Licks gonna run a wingless 600.
And
paint scheme, but we're not telling the paint scheme. Sorry, Eric, I had to say it. But I won't say the paint scheme. So go check it out.
There you go.
Yeah. I didn't say it. I get a text. You can't say this on the show, but it's a special paint scheme. I'm like, well, dude, why would you call me and tell me I can't make this announcement? Now it's killing me.
Yeah.
You know?
So.
Yeah.
So what do we want? We have like Miss Tina Rogers, the birthday ladies in the house.
Yes, and since we only have two headsets working, it's just you and me talking here. And
we got this one.
Would you like to put on a headset?
Should we get the whole audience to sing Happy Birthday to her?
You know what? We could do that.
Yeah.
Oh, she's.
Yeah. In sign language. I don't know sign language.
Okay.
Though. You know. Left hand.
Yeah. Turn it around. Turn
on the left. I learned that one. I get you that far. On the left. Hi, Tina. Good. How are you? Who's ready to grab you? Ready?
Now wait. You know what? I don't have her.
All right. There's a test run. Hang on.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah, you're ready.
Now you're ready.
I'm ready.
Now you're going.
Oh, I hear her.
I thought I was ready.
You were born ready, so I hear.
Hey, my first question is, how did your grandfather find that spot on top of that hill to put a racetrack?
Farmland he had.
Yeah? Because tonight I actually could notice it from this road right here. You could look over and see it. And I was just thinking, wow, that's pretty cool. That little spot of area.
Yeah, it was all farmland he had, and then actually sold a lot of the farmland to keep the track going. All the land across from the track was his, and he had to sell it to keep the track going.
But
he got the view. He got the grand view because of being on the hill,
mm-hmm.
and he thought it was such a grand view.
Perfect.
There you go.
Because you could see it now with no tree, you know, no leaves on or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Am I bad just to like drive by the place and just like drive
girlfriend.
By it?
Girlfriend.
You know,
it's your girlfriend.
I do drive bys when I come here.
You're terrible. Sick. You are sick.
He has issues.
Issues. Yeah.
You know. Under the tree.
Well, for a couple minutes.
For just a couple minutes. You know. So are we ready? We're going to have practice this week.
Yeah, we're going to practice. Just watch the weather. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful weekend for racing, no matter where you're going. I saw mid-50s. I think it's all 54 Friday, 56 on Saturday. And the showers that they work home for, they took that out of the forecast. So no showers now, so... Should be a good week for people who haven't yet got out on the tracks to do any kind of testing and tuning any of their cars.
And this is open to any car.
Any division. Yeah. Any division.
Slingshot, anything.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We had a few there last year.
So we can't beat that.
Enduros, micros.
And regular Saturday nighters can get their pit licenses?
You can get your pit license on this Saturday also.
Saturday.
If you haven't.
Yeah.
Already got it or sent it in. I mean, NASCAR is good with that stuff now. Everything gets mailed to you if you had one last year. You don't need one for this week for practice. You'll need it for opening on April 6th. But if you didn't get it in the mail yet, you know, you waited, and you can actually get it this Saturday. Vicky will be there. Next Saturday, we have a NASCAR representative coming up that will also be there to help.
On opening day.
Yeah, they come every – they try to come every day, every year for us to help out. Last year, the one girl had some family – issues pop up last minute, so she didn't. But it's always nice when somebody comes up there, helps keep the line moving for those who, you know, decide they're just going to get it. Or I think I mentioned last time we were here that NASCAR is offering the temp one that you can buy. They'll get you in for 2 weeks. I believe it's $25. So, you know, just somebody who wants to come up and be there for 2 weeks or whatever.
Because, say, like 5 mile point ain't running yet, hint, hint.
Right.
Yeah.
Or if they just want to come up and see if they like it, you know, without having to spend the whole $95 on a license, they can
buy a temp. Yeah, or there's big diamond regulars that want to come down and race a couple, you know, race.
Right. Yep.
That's great. Good opportunity.
Because a couple Grandview regulars were, you know, who were surprisers that were up there at Diamond were like Ryan Grimm, the Grimms. I wasn't expecting them.
No.
You know, so that was cool to see, they're knocking the bugs out, getting it ready.
Yeah, sure.
But the problem is, it seems like more tracks are opening up earlier, so these guys are already out on the track.
Right. Yeah, a lot of tracks are opening up earlier. The Icebreaker you have opened up. You had New Egypt open up. Diamond opened up. I mean, and a lot of them already got to test their cars out, which is great. I mean, that's a great opportunity for them, you know.
See, around here, we couldn't open up earlier because this weather's been crappy.
Oh, I know. And, I mean, a lot of the late models, they haven't got to try their cars out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So some sportsmen guys that haven't got to try their cars out. I had a couple emails for, you know, different divisions that haven't got the race yet that are
my
looking
landlord.
Forward to coming down.
My landlord's ready.
Is he?
Yeah, he's ready. Yeah. You know, he's itching. He got it all looking pretty, you know. So, but yeah, so this Saturday and then next Saturday is the big, is 51 years.
Yep, going into 51 years. April 6th, we open up.
How long have you been there?
That'll be a regular show. How long have I been there?
Yeah.
No, 29
in a row.
Yeah, yeah. See, that 5 years, I'm going to tell you the same thing.
Right, guys. Yeah, you did. Good job, baby.
You're
a
tall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. We had a lot of work to do up there. Hurricane Sandy was not real nice to us, so we had a whole fence that down and fourth turn. The guys worked real hard and got that back up. We have a big pole laying right in the middle of the pits. Got that back up. Got speakers, new speakers on that pole. A lot of complaints on that over the last year. They can't hear. It works. They just can't hear when the motors are running. So now I think I saw today when I was up there that there's six speakers on that, three facing toward the pit office and three facing down toward the bottom of the pits.
Now they can hear you louder.
Hopefully, actually putting a brand new system in there. In the pits this year. Not sure if that'll be, probably won't be their opening day. Hopefully it'll be ready by the 13th. The whole pit announcing system will be all revamped.
Well, hats off in the pits to your dad and your brother and your son, you know, for what they did with all that pavement. You know, the chip, that pavement.
Oh, the building they put down. Yeah.
That was a great move. I think a lot of the guys appreciated that.
Yeah, it was. Actually, the state was doing a road and asked us if we wanted it, and we're going to turn it down.
Worked out nice. Yeah, it worked out nice. There's no more ankle breakers.
Yeah.
You know? So I just think, you know, so did the billboards get fixed? Did you get them up? Are they getting up?
They're up. They just got to get the wraps put on them.
You know who's doing them?
Well, that's actually their responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, so when they come doing it, to us and ask, you know, uh-huh. what the cost, the price of it is. That's why I got some prices on what it is.
Right. So you know a vinyl guy that'll do it?
I don't know. Do you know anyone that'll do it? I hear somebody I know wants to retire, so.
Yeah.
Wow.
Told me not to send nothing his way. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? It sounds like he's going to Delaware. You know?
He wants to be lower and slower, right?
Yeah.
But the actual framing's up there. Everything's up for them to get them back on. So probably won't be done, you know, first couple of weeks till they decide what they want to do.
Have you heard from that guy down in Florida yet? Is he back? That Florida guy who goes down to Florida, who announces all the time up
who's
there?
Who's been there a few years longer than you?
I did. Yeah, what's his name? Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, he didn't want to come back, and he came. I think they left on Friday, and then, of course, they came back to the snow.
Oh, he's that's loving that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. First, though, I think he said he saw him 5 years, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, they are back, and he's ready to go.
All right.
Yep.
I mean,
ready to do that trek up them steps again.
Yep, for his 40, and I want he's going to yell at me. I want to say 46 years.
Oh, I'm thinking this will be 47 for him.
It's an all time. Got to give it to him, though, man. You know, that's dedication.
Maybe
you know what, that's one thing with us. We always had dedication. Everybody had, normally, everybody comes back over the years. I don't really recall changing hands too much other than people that have just had enough or ready to get out of it themselves.
Right.
I mean, and I'm talking right down to the concession stands. You know,
a bunch of committed people.
They're very committed to us. Yeah,
if they aren't,
we're very grateful.
Maybe they should be committed, you know. Mm-hmm.
We're grateful that we have them kind of people that are willing to come back each year. And
yeah,
Mrs. A saying still. You know?
It's his age. Yeah, she's still there. Yeah,
27 years now.
Yeah, she's there.
She could retire from there.
She did.
Yeah?
Yeah, last year, right, Jeff? I believe it was her, yeah.
Now, not just to change the subject on this, does this Obama insurance affect you guys at all?
No. You mean racing insurance?
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
No?
No.
Because, you know, this new health plan all he's got out there and everybody's scrambling. Just people who don't have health insurance are going to get whacked like $2,500.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a different
ridiculous.
Anatomy.
Yeah. Don't get me started, Whip.
You know? Sorry, I didn't mean to go politics on everybody.
Jeez, where are you going with that?
I know. I just heard it from my union hall. They're messing with me. Drives me nuts. So
yeah,
you're not
I didn't
gonna...
really follow it because I have health insurance, but mm-hmm. from what I'm told, I think from Brad, because I lost him on my policy, so since he's married, he's got to pick up, and if he doesn't have it, I think the first year it was deducting like $500 or something, and then it increases.
Right. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So what's Brad doing now that he's married now? Is the wife going to let him run?
Well, I know. He's not racing this year. He's going to take over more of a authority role up there and be a...
Oh!
I didn't say that.
Oh.
Get on everyone's nerves.
Well, I remember a few years ago at the Freedom Fest, he was doing an interview with Ernie, and that's what he said. He says, man, the future of Grandview, I am the future. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what you want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. We want that thing there forever.
Because, I mean, I just noticed coming down 100, there's a sign there at the one cornfield before the church mm-hmm. that they're going to put like a strip mall or something in there.
That's been there for years now. They still haven't done anything yet.
Yeah. But, and then, like, and then there's those houses, you know, like, because when you're
that
up in
community,
the
community, the over 55 is down in there.
It
yeah.
seems like the neighbors are just slowly circling around.
Yeah.
Boy.
You know?
Yeah. Well, all the farmland, no farmers are making money, so they're all selling it on housing. But right now, housing's not that great. The market's down on that, so
yeah.
there hasn't been much housing going up around us either.
Yeah.
Let's just hope that yeah. someday, all of a sudden, they don't creep down the hill there, you know, the housing, and then all of a sudden say, whoa, the racetrack is so noisy. You're just like, yeah, built next to our racetrack. What the hell did you expect, you know?
Right. Because I have friends who live out there, Long Acres, and they're like, when the wind's right, I can hear them. Like, well, you should just come over that.
Well, come over.
you know?
And the people that are complaining about Kutztown right now, that's what I say to them. Hey, bring the kids to the races, you know? My kids can't sleep. Well, they shouldn't be sleeping if there's a racetrack going on.
It's Saturday,
come on over.
What the kid doing in bed at 8 o'clock anyways? Be a parent. Let them stay up.
Come on.
You know? I don't have a kid. I'm not a parent.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, I go run down to my house during the races on a Saturday, and I'll be honest with you, because I'm down in the gully there, the
yeah.
little valley between the two hills. I really don't hear the cars. Ernie, depending on the way the wind blows, because
right.
speakers are up higher than the track.
Right.
And, but as far
he
as the cars,
that.
I don't. But, I mean, I hear people that live over there off of Farmington Avenue who will tell me that they sound sometimes like they're coming right through their living room. So,
I love that.
And the problem is?
Oh. Yep.
Problem.
Yep. You know, most of our neighbors are real friendly. They're nice. I mean, we don't have any problems with them. I mean,
yeah.
you got to look at it 6 months a year, one day a week, and
they put
couple
up
people shows. And,
people stomping through their yard.
Taxes cover that, you know?
I mean, that lady in that greenhouse, man, that lot's full every Saturday. Her yard's full every Saturday.
Oh, Mrs. Merkel.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
All right, she's there with a smile.
Yep. Yeah.
How could you go wrong?
But, you know, it's not anybody real close to the track that you have the complaints from. It's the ones that are...
Which doesn't make no sense.
I understand that. You understand that just because we're in racing.
The track was there before the houses were on Passmore Road.
You're right. I know that, but that don't mean anything today, unfortunately.
And that's just wrong.
It is wrong.
East
Windsor, good point.
Who named it Passmore Road? Where did that name come from? What a name for a race on a racetrack.
I'm assuming the township named
yeah.
it that. And it might have came from, down at the mower shop.
Right,
yeah.
the family name.
Because,
Passmore.
You know, now that I think about it, I live on Wilt, and the guy up from me, his he's still a Wilt, but his dad was a Wilt. So I guess maybe back years ago when they were naming roads,
uh-huh.
you could go back there and ask, request your name to be on the road. And at that time, I guess.
Whippy Road. Whippy Avenue.
Yeah.
Because,
Whippy yeah,
way.
Whippy Lane, yeah. Well, no, it's just Whippy's Tree. That's all I need. Whippy's Tree.
Okay, we need a sign, Joe.
Which tree are we talking about, Whip?
Yeah.
Is that the one right coming out of 4?
Like when you go up Pitt Road?
Mm-hmm.
You go up where the campers always camp? No,
No, not yours.
Not yours.
I mean behind the, in the back.
And where the fans all park. Where the fans all
right
park.
Right on Passmore. Right on Passmore.
Yeah, right on Passmore Road there. You park up on the Grandview property.
Mm-hmm.
The dirt, the pit
right
road's right here. There's that tree.
Right now, everybody, Whippy's signing.
Yeah.
You know,
Merkel usually camps there. Everybody camps right along that road right there, Passmore Road. Like, here's Passmore Road.
So if you go up past where Grill on the Hill is, and then there's a driveway that shoots off
no,
the right.
No,
no,
not
no,
up that
no,
far.
No.
Not at the,
no, no.
Before, right
you,
when you come
you,
off of
yeah,
Passmore.
If you go Passmore Road, and, okay, you make the right to go into the pits.
Yes.
And then 2 feet after that, where the Grandview parking lot is.
Where the Bailey.
I feel like on the home stretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where the Bailey.
That's my tree.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my tree.
No, that's not right.
Not that tree. No, the one right on Pitt Road.
Not right on Pitt Road. He's down further. He's on one of the dirt driveways, right?
Right. If I got out of my passenger side truck, I'd fall down the hill.
It's the last spot for the break to go to the road.
Yeah. You know, where everybody jams up right there at that one, there's that one spot where the bank goes down. If you go, you'd go nose first. Everybody make that hard.
Oh, so right off the main driveway in front of the main grandstand.
Yeah.
Oh, you know where I know where he's
right
at
down there
by the steps.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right there at that corner is those trees right there, those little set of trees. I've been parking there for 12 years, you know, until sons of bitching campers get there. And they take my spot. And then I have to go down a little farther, and there's no hiding spot. Mm. I need hiding spot, you know. Yeah, that's it, you know. From the sun.
Okay.
From the sun all day working, so... All right, we're going to take a break now. Good.
We're going to take a break. We're going to try to get the subject changed during the break, you know. And we're going to try to get our headsets all straightened out here and maybe bring some other people in to the conversation. Okay? So we'll be back in a little bit.
All right. Welcome back. Low Down and Dirty. It's a Grandview Speedway night, an official night. And next up, we're going to have Eric Gambler and Mr. Mertzy. Mertzy, I only call you Mertzy because that's pretty much what I know you by.
That's what they go by.
All right. You know? So, hey, Eric, what's up?
Not too much. What's going on?
Not much. Hey, we just wanted to bring you two on because this is a whole different perspective of what the fan sees and an official sees. Now, you're in turn one, Eric, and Mertzy, you're up in the crossover gate.
I'm up the gate.
That's correct.
And we're going to start with you, Mertzy, because you also direct the pits. And that is insane.
It gets that way.
You have that under control. I have to give you credit for that. You have that under control.
Tina helps a lot with that.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a set plan like Saturday morning or, you know, because after like the second week, you pretty much know who's coming.
Right. Oh, the pit parking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I work on it. I just more or less got done with that. And it changes. You know, they got their spot for 2 weeks. If they miss 2 weeks in a row, then the third week it comes open.
You're going to hole.
Right. Everybody knows that. That's been the rule.
Yeah, that's the rule of the hill.
We try to do it by the points from last year, but anymore we can't do that. Trailer sizes are killing us because our pits is small.
Mm-hmm.
So we more or less go by trailer sizes more so than points just because the trailers are so big.
Right, because there was a time when there was a guy who won a lot of points championships who was, like, closest to the pay window.
Right.
You know, that was always whoever had the points was closest to the pay window. Now the hauler, like you said, the haulers got bigger.
And they're getting bigger all the time.
Well, we're going to have to stop this.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's go back to open trailers and then we'll have it made.
Yeah, you know, I'm in for that. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Now, Eric, how long have you been at Grandview?
This will be my 12th season at Grandview.
Miss Rogers, Tina was just saying that everybody from Grandview all dedicated. How long have you been there, Mertzy?
As an official?
Yeah.
11 or 12 years now.
It's just loyalty. I mean, you know, that's just awesome. You know,
it is awesome. Yep.
I mean,
a good group of guys. They all get together. They all talk it all out, you know, figure out what's going on and what needs to be done and how to handle it. And, I mean, they do a phenomenal job for us. I have no complaints about anything. And, I mean, I can go to anyone or they can come to me and, you know, we work it all out. And, I mean, they're there every week and they love racing and they're dedicated to us. And, you know, we can't ask for better people that we have up there. We truly do have a good group of officials all around, not just inside the track, outside the track, our scores, you know, everybody. All in all, everybody. Everybody works together. I mean, you know, you have your hiccups. Don't get me wrong. Things happen. And, I mean, even in the pit office, I have Jeff Gromis and Cindy up there. And, I mean, things go crazy some nights. But, you know, we all keep it together and try to keep the show run the best we can. And, you know, a lot of fans don't see that stuff. You know?
That's why we want to breathe this.
Well, they
you know?
Get stressed in the grandstands yeah. and are, you know, sometimes yelling and hooting and hollering. And, hey, that's the loyalty and the love of racing. You know, they have a right to do that, you know. But, I mean, there's times up there, you know, somebody tells us that they aren't going to make it out for their heat and they're not aware why they're not going to make it out for their heat or an incident or a rule infraction or something happens on the track. And, you know, they don't know why because it's all communication. And sometimes the communication don't get passed along as quickly as the fans would like for it to. But, you know, there's a lot of things that they don't see that goes on between everybody. And, you know, I don't know how many have access to the radios, you know, if they can get. I know we can block that. I don't think we do. But, I mean, some people have access to the radios and can hear, you know, hear what's going on with what the officials have to say and the calls that are made and how we're trying to handle things. You know, if somebody comes in the pits, what's going on. And,
right.
It's racing. It's a tough deal some Saturday nights, you know. It is, you know. And
it
when you're
just
coming
open
on
the gates and let it go.
Yeah,
you know?
When you're coming in as a fan, I mean, you love to have them, but, you know, it takes patience, you know. It takes patience on everybody's part to be there and understand what's going on and, you know, get inside the driver's heads and what's going on with them and how we trying to help them every way possible that we can. And, I mean.
Perfect. This is a perfect lead.
A prime example is, we can't see everything, okay? And everybody's got their favorites, and they're watching their favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we might have missed their favorite doing something or getting something done to them. Well, we just didn't see it.
Yeah,
they
so
don't
we
understand
have
that.
One set of eyes. We can't see everything out there.
That's right, Eric.
Right.
And we got to watch everything.
Mm-hmm. No,
Eric, have you always been in turn one?
Since I've been in Grandview, yeah, I've been in turn one. When I worked at the Big Diamond, I was on the back stretch and in turn two.
All right. Wow. So I mean, not to bring back old vicious memories, but you had a pretty decent picture of that vicious crash of Mimi's.
Yeah. That was probably one of the most frightening things I've seen at Grandview since I worked there.
All right. That was, yeah.
That was
ugly.
Yeah. I think if that pole wouldn't have been there right at the flag stand, I think he was in the grandstands.
Yeah.
And that was very scary.
Yep. Now let's go on a brighter subject. Who's the best you've ever seen get around Grandview Speedway in your 12 years?
Modified sprint, does it matter?
It don't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
I'm going to say right now, I believe it's Dwayne Howard.
Ooh, okay. Right. Merch, you.
In my time that I've been there, I think Dwayne Howard is. I think
there's too many for me to name.
Oh, yeah?
Merch. Yeah, I mean, Craig's up there. Fred Raymer's up there. Even Billy Pouch is up there.
I think right now,
Dwayne.
Right. Have you always been how did you get involved into this flags thing? Were you a race fan and then you said, hey, I want to do this? Or how did this happen?
I've been a fan. I cut my teeth at the Reading Fairgrounds.
Okay.
And I've been a fan pretty much that whole time. I actually, at Grandview, I started as a photographer. I was taking pictures from 94 up until 2001. Jeff Grom has talked me into being an official. And that's where I started.
No kidding. How'd you get involved, Mercy?
My dad used to race. And
yeah.
The Mercy race.
I raced.
Did you?
Yeah. Didn't do nothing, but I had fun.
What'd you run?
Late model modified.
Late model? Oh, did you? But you didn't get a win like Kenny did.
No. I was just out there to have fun. I actually like working on better than I did driving.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's cool. I didn't know that. Yeah. I've probably seen you, because I've been going for 15 years now, so I've probably seen you run. When would you, so you, would you race when, before you were an official?
99, and
I was a drunk back then.
2000 to 2001.
I don't remember. I was a drunk. I was one of the loud, obnoxious fans of race turn three and four.
Nah, there ain't none of them at Grandview.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I was like that too up in turn four, so I know.
Oh, geez. You were probably right there with me. So now, here's a good question for Mercy and team. Fights in the pit.
We have them.
Yeah,
try not to, but you have them.
But hey, it's part of Saturday night.
It's part of tempers, and I always said, you know what, I'm on both sides of the fence. You know, Brad raced now, he was in it 10 years, and I see the dedication and the hours that go into putting a car together and the money and the expense that these guys have to put into it and, you know, the frustration, and I see all that. And then I'm on this side of the fence where I see what goes into the promoting and the money and the costs and everything, the insurance and taxes and the electric bill.
You got a good little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have seen both sides of it. I mean, you know, like anywhere you try to prevent any kind of fighting, it just is it creates more trouble, I think, when you have fighting up there. You know, it doesn't solve anything. And, you know, I understand they get angry, you know, all the time they put into it and something happens on the track. I get it. I mean, we control it the best we can, and I think we do a pretty good job at it. I mean, you have to have some discipline, you know, and that's where it comes into. You're either going to, you know, be shut down or you're going to pay a fine. So, I mean, you're not going to avoid it. It's the nature of the beast. You're going to have it on occasions. We don't have it often, but you have it. I try to instill into these guys, the best thing to do is come to the pit office and talk it out. Let drivers and owners only. Don't get the pit crews involved.
Yeah,
you get the ones
involved
who are spending the money and racing the car. They're the ones you have to talk to. Right, and when you can narrow it down to drivers only or drivers and owners only, it gets solved so much quicker. You know, they say their piece. I bring them in the pit office, close the door, and they say what they have to say. And you know what? When they see it from the other point of view, then by the end of the conversation, 5 or 10 minutes, it's done and over with, and they're shaking hands.
A lot of times they're drinking beer together afterward.
Yeah.
I mean, that's racing. It's the heat of the moment time is when it's worst.
Because where you are, Mertz, you're in a pretty vulnerable spot.
As far as...
I mean, would they come up out of that hole out of the infield?
Yeah.
That's not...
Yeah, you got to really watch. You got to watch the cars. You got to watch the people because you're walking across there. It's a bad spot.
Well, it's a blind spot.
Because after the race comes, they come and check her. If he's pissing at somebody, he's going to drill and pull it up. That's the retaliation spot.
And it's a blind spot for the drivers. And
it
the
is.
Fans don't realize that because, you know, they're just casually
when they're coming up that hill,
and
the drivers don't see nothing.
You can't
until
see
they come, until they get to the top and come back down. They don't see anything. They can't because just the way the banking is.
Right. So, I mean, that's just, you know, you control that little chaotic intersection.
Yeah,
like,
me and Larry work with that.
Yeah. You're like the Keystone Cop.
Yeah.
Right there.
Me and my red light.
You and your red light.
There's a certain
now he's got those,
there's
now
a
he's got those hand lights. Now he looks like an airplane person now.
The starter turns that light on. I have no switch up there. The guys come up and look. They yell and scream. I have no control of that light.
So when the light goes green on the track and that light goes red, right?
No. There's a certain spot on the track where they turn the light on.
Okay.
It's
so
before the green light comes on, before they go to green, it's about halfway or so down the back stretch.
Right. That light goes red, though, on your
side. At my end, and then you can't go through.
So everybody calls it.
Your car got to be past me, or you didn't make it.
Everybody calls it Mercy's light, but it really isn't Mercy's light.
No, it's not.
You got your own light, too. You don't even control it.
Right, you're right.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Kevin, what's with you tonight? Eric, what's the closest incident you've ever had at, like, being an official? How close you been to be almost getting hit?
I had a couple late models last year actually slide right into the Uke tires that are right around the pole where I stand.
Uh-huh.
And I had to bail out of there a couple times. I had, when the 600 modifieds were there, a couple of them ran right up into the cinders when I was standing right there. I could feel the exhaust go right by my feet. So that's probably the closest I've been.
Wow. My dad was a flagger on the backstretch at the point, and the dude hit the Uke tire and went up, and it rolled, and it chased him.
Really?
I had a picture of him in the program. He's being chased by a Uke tire. Yeah, I'll never forget it as a kid. I'll never forget that. Yep. What about you, Mercy? What's the closest incident? I mean, you kind of are a little more protected than Eric is.
I don't know about that one. Look at me at the end of the night and tell me that.
I mean, you're probably the dirtiest guy there.
Yeah.
He looks like Al Jolson when he walks out of there. I know that.
I think when the sprinters are there, it's the worst.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, because, they're up on
it. They can't stop, and they're flying around there. And when they come up there and hit that fence and stuff, it makes you... Think
you
about
seen
it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got a good view of it.
Oh, man. Gee, Christmas, that's kind of crazy. I'd be scared to death.
Hey,
you know?
Got a question.
Yes, the Queen's got a question. The Queen looks like she's got a list.
It's for Eric. He's going to shoot me later. It's okay.
By the way, Eric, you're the Queen's, bodyguard over there in turn one.
Yeah, I take care of her pretty well.
Yes, he does.
Thank you very much.
I got a question for you, Eric. Now, see, what the fans see of you is all they see of you in turn one is when you wave the flag, the red flag, yellow flag, whatever it is to get the driver's attention. But there's a lot more going on than what they see. You have communication going on back and forth between the tower and everything like that. But tell the fans how it works when you guys have to figure out who was involved and judgment calls about was it their fault, wasn't it their fault. You know, what do you guys do when you're going back and forth making that decision?
Well, When it has to be made, a call has to be made, we have to have a second on the call. So another official somewhere on that racetrack has to see what I saw so we can actually force who caused the wreck. And then at that point, then we will either put him to the rear, or if we didn't think it was anything to extend him to the rear, maybe we'll put him back a couple spots at the finish, anything like that. Now, if they were involved in a wreck or... how we rule them that they're involved. Are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Remember now, you got one of the flags.
All right, because I didn't hear anything on the other side if you guys are still on the phone. Look,
you got our attention, Eric.
Eric, we heard that all the time. You guys didn't see nothing, huh?
when the wrecks all cause, anybody who stops in that wreck is ruled in that wreck. Or if they come up into the infield on the fenders inside the Uke tires, they're involved. So then we'll score them and we'll put them to the rear. If they stop behind the wreck to avoid the wreck, we rule them as not involved because they had nowhere to go, so they'll just stop. They're not involved in the wreck. That's basically what we do. We discuss that over the radio between Ray, Joe Carter, the assistant starter, Ed Scott, and then the rest of the officials. We'll all just put our own 2 cents in, and then we come down to a decision of who's going to the rear.
It's a track spot.
I mean, we're all good. We're all good with that.
Right.
We all know what we want to, how we want to judge it. And since we all put our heads together, I mean, one head, two heads, three heads are always better than one. So.
And you guys got to make this decision like in a split in a second.
Yeah.
You know, there's no
no instant replays.
Yeah.
Yeah. No instant replay. That's for sure.
And then if they don't agree, that's when they come see me.
Yeah.
If they don't stop
it, or anybody who's got Gary Silverman's video right there that we can look on the video, but
right.
But no, it, I mean we do that pretty well. I got to give that.
Yeah.
I mean we talk with each other. I mean the group that I worked with when I was up at Big Diamond, it was a lot of just individuals. We didn't really do a lot of discussing between us, but Grandview, I got to say we talk to each other quite a bit, which is good. So, I mean, that's why the decisions are made, and I think I made more calls at Grandview than I've ever made at Big Diamond. So,
And we do talk on the radio a lot. It's
between one another.
We all talk it back and forth, try to get it figured out before we go green.
Well, I'm in the infield. I see, who was that? Junior's on the stage.
Yeah.
Right? And I, you know, because I watch him sometimes, and he's looking at, you know, there could be two drivers being misfits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to keep an eye on them.
Right.
Right. And, of course, they keep an eye if something's going on in their heats. And, you know, I have complaining up in the pit office about it. Then I call. I said if I have it, and, you know, if they bring it to my attention
mm-hmm.
at that time, then I make sure at intermission I get a hold of somebody or the guys will usually come up there and powwow at intermission by the pit office. And I'll say, look, I had these two at the pit office. So-and-so, you know, they're both in the feature. They're starting side by side. Let's keep it
on.
How
does it always work like that?
And,
seems like
and,
it does.
And, you know,
yeah,
and,
it does,
and we even talk with Mark Garman when he's on the radio to either settle guys down if they're driving over their heads a little bit, to calm down. And that also works. So
does it really?
Okay. Explain what Mark does for our listeners.
One, he is basically their ears to hear where they're supposed to be lining up. If they don't look at us, because 9 times out of 10, they don't look at us, Mark's telling them where they got to go in line for a restart. Another thing they do when we're on the green and there's a yellow, he's telling them to slow down, where the wreck is, if it's high, if it's low, if there's debris on the racetrack to try to avoid it, and basically gives them, you know, when to go. I mean, if they're coming down to the start finish, he's going to tell them when to go. I mean, Mark is great with that. I mean, we hear him yelling at these guys over the radio when Penny's trying to tell us the lineups. He's yelling constantly at these guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably, their ears are ringing after a night of racing because of Mark's voice.
Why,
I know mine would.
Why don't the guys look at you guys?
I guess when they put those helmets on, it's like they're in a zone and they don't
yeah.
want to look at anything.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, they do say that. They I mean, they sleep in their seats.
But they must hear Mark.
Yeah, they must hear.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
They have. Because
ever since they started the in-car right. radios, I mean, the lineups have gone so much better. You know?
Even sometimes on the green, somebody will go to Mark. Yo, Mark, somebody's driving wild.
We
calm
won't
them
give
down.
No car numbers. Don't give out
no
car numbers.
No, I'm just saying. Mark, somebody driving erratic or beating or banging or something, mm-hmm. hanging on somebody, somebody will make a call to Mark, yo, get on the radio and tell the guy to knock it off.
So he'll actually say during the green, 23, calm down?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
If a guy has a problem with the radio. On the base flat to take the green and they're bumping into the back bumper, we're telling them to back off. Don't push the issue.
That's why
I like that.
That's why the radios are very important for them drivers, for every driver's to work.
And that's another issue. If they're not, I mean, their batteries on those things go dead. I mean, you got to replace them every week. mm-hmm. pretty much. Every week I put set of double A batteries in their little receivers. And if they can't hear, they'll come in and say they can't hear Mark. So then they'll come in the pit office and I'll make Mark do a radio check from the tower. He'll radio check and they're not getting anything. But I'll hear Mark on my radio. So I'll know that the radio is working, that it's not Mark's radio. It's the driver's radio. And if there's a night that the driver doesn't have a radio, he for some reason it's not the batteries, it's issues, then I'll notify Mark and I'll say, hey, just want to let you guys know, 327, no radio tonight. So if he's not listening, this is why he's not listening.
Good use of numbers.
Yeah.
it's also Tina's birthday numbers.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
That's where that car number came from.
Joey Adams pointed that out tonight. That's where the 327 comes from.
I heard that one time. I did hear that one time. That's a legend story.
Right. Yeah. That's how he remembers his mom's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Hey, you're going to have
that's a good
I don't let my children forget my birthday.
Well, that was a good discussion on the radio system, though.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Actually, the radio system works well. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of guys, that's as important to them as their helmet is, that radio working.
Yeah, they rely on it.
Yes.
The driver,
especially the guys that never raced before, and they come out in that racetrack and they're driving down to the bottom. It's good that they have a working radio. They can hear Mark when the leaders are coming up on them to stay out of the way. The leaders are coming and they're staying to the inside. That's perfect. That way they're not going to get themselves in any trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just starting out, make sure you've got a working radio.
Good point. Hey, Mertz, you go traveling to different races, and you've been to different tracks. What's your favorite besides Grandview? I mean, you got a favorite? I mean, I know you go down to Charlotte and other places. I mean, you got a favorite?
I kind of like Brewerton.
Brewerton? Wow, you go all the way up north?
Yep.
Wow. How about you, Eric?
I think mine's a tie between Eldora and probably Charlotte.
All right. I my vote goes to Eric Simercy because Eldora's great. Love Eldora.
Never been to Eldora.
Oh, yeah, you got to take that big, huge camper. And when you do, you let me know.
Yeah.
If I take the camper, the boss got to say who's going.
The boss got to go, too, you know? Yeah, Eldora's rocks, man. That's a good time.
Yeah, but on my bucket list, I got to get to the Chili Bowl. That's a must for me.
Yeah.
I got to do it once.
Yeah. And also put on your bucket list Knoxville.
That's another one I want to say. At least I was there once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite division of racing, Eric?
I'm really starting to get into the super lates.
Uh-oh.
But I still like modifieds. I mean, that's what I grew up on, and I will always be a modified fan.
What about you, Mercy?
Modifieds.
Yeah. Though the late models seem to get more television than modifieds than anything.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
You know.
Super late models out at Williams Grove next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh. I smell a road trip.
Four tens and late models.
You know what? Yeah, April, because that's my dad's birthday weekend. God rest his soul, but it always rains that weekend.
Stop it.
It does.
Stop it right now. Get a new stone.
I know. The new weather rock. New weather rock. You know? So hey.
But I will say I do like the USAC sprints as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I love when they come to Grandview because that is one hell of a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to give thank Mr. Rogers and Rob Miller for doing that every year because that USAC is awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys get new flags every year? Mercy, you get new flags every year?
I got my lights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got the
I land
the plane. He lands plane.
Yeah. What about you, Eric? You get new flags every year?
The flags I got from Tina about 3 years ago, but I'll tell you, OxyClean works wonders.
From 1988, you're still using the same rags. Good for you. Did you just wash them once a year? The OxyClean?
The OxyClean works, I'm telling you. That's like a miracle drug. That's perfect.
I might have to break into that stuff that I try that out. Does it get concrete out of clothes?
I know, but I'll tell you, the white pants that I have to wear sometimes on shows, it takes out that mud. And that Susquehanna clay was the worst. And they took it out. It was great.
Yeah. You know.
Hey, ask Eric what he gets for a flag call, not making a call or making a wrong call.
Oh, did you hear that? What's better, making the right call or getting flagged for making the wrong call?
Oh. Repeat that question one more time.
Okay, this is Jeopardy.
Yeah, this is Jeopardy. I forgot it.
You get more flack.
More slack for a right call or not making a call.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I get more flack for not making a call.
Uh-huh.
That I would believe.
Mercy's shaking his head, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but out of doubt.
Can you see that?
I mean, because people in the grandstands have a different angle than what we have.
Oh,
so they don't see what we see.
Yeah.
And if we see it as racing, they're going to be up in the stands going, oh, he got wheeled, he spun him, he chopped him. We don't see it that way. That was racing. So, I mean, you get it because they see it at a different angle than what we do.
And you're right, and I can say this now because he no longer races Grandview anymore, but went back in the day when Donnie Erb raced there. And I love Donnie as a person, but when something happened on that track that an official didn't make a call for, oh, my God, he was the first one in my pit office, and he raised Kane, let me tell you.
I
told him, my exact words were to him, when you're done racing, you take the helmet off, you let me know, we'll put an official shirt on. I said, now I'll do one better. When you don't qualify, you let me know, I'm going to put you down in turn. And he didn't qualify one night, and I sent him down in turn two. And he came back, and his words were to me, you're absolutely right. It's a totally different view.
I have mad respect for those guys at Grandview Speedway.
Yep, he realized it is. And it is. I mean, I personally don't like to watch racing from the infield, especially when the 410s are there. I just don't like it. It's too close of action for me.
I'm busy.
Yeah, well, it's not that. I just it makes it, yeah, it is. It's just it's nerve-wracking for me to watch it. Just too close.
It's the greatest speed fix ever.
Yeah.
So it is definitely just a different perspective
of
looking
of
at racing.
My view of the track.
Yeah, you got a good shot. You got a good view.
Well, you know, Eric, where Eric stands, it scares me. I mean, I can't see.
He can reach out and slap him five to 410 guy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's scary to me, just watching him stand there.
Hey, Eric, do you get heckled from the fans on the front stretch in turn one?
I do on nights. Yeah, there's some nights that, I mean, if they've had one too many Yingling, they start. They really start on me. I mean, I remember there was a night that a tire came off on the car, and it was sitting up inside the boilerplate. I knew where it was, and they kept on all yelling at me, it's right there, it's right there. I said, God, I know it's there. I said, come on, what, do you think I'm blind? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I get it all the time. But from where I stand, there's quite a good views, too, from where I'm at, but I won't say that.
Do you ever have a fan come hunt you down after the races and say, what were you looking at? Why did you make that call? Yeah,
I've actually had him come down to my car and question my buddy Jeff, who works turn two, and I on calls that we did not make one night. And, I mean, it got loud for a while. And so they finally drove away. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With our official shirt on, we got a bullseye on our chest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you need to take them shirts off immediately.
And then,
they know
you.
Know,
when
believe
they gave
me.
Us
they
those
know
big
who you
orange,
are.
They gave us the big red jackets that had official really big on them. That was really a bullseye.
So there, people are – that's terrible. People are hunting them down after the race.
Oh, yeah. If it's their favorite driver, oh, yeah, they're coming after us.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee they'll come after us.
Half a cooler full of Yingling.
Then you're in South Jersey, and it's even worse.
That's
but if you have an answer for them, they respect that.
Right.
Well, that's all you got to do is just get, even if they don't, ain't the right one, just give them
that. That's all you got to do is give them
that. How about you? Yeah. Anybody ever get in your face?
More than I like to. I like to know.
Oh, man. That's. I mean, you guys are doing a job. I understand. You know,
I don't mind. I really don't mind a guy coming up and asking a question.
And asking a question.
What happened? What's going on? Why was it? And a lot of times you get an answer, they walk away. And that's the end of it. It's the ones that keep coming back time after time after.
Every week.
Yeah. Or every time the car's on the track. That's when you get kind of PO'd with them.
And hey, Mercy, I've had an instance that they kept on coming back a couple weeks after the wreck happened, a couple weeks before. And
we get that.
Yeah. It's a thankless job.
It is.
It's a thankless job.
You got to love it or you wouldn't be doing it. I mean, that's
it. Yeah.
Sort of like that Little League umpire. You just got to love to do it, you know?
Yeah, because, yeah, you don't want to be heckled by the parents.
I look at my job on Monday through Friday is very stressful. I come to Grandview, and it's a stretch reliever.
Yeah, that's
it
great.
Absolutely is a stretch reliever.
That's a good attitude.
It's like it's a vacation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Whippy, you're on vacation when you go there, right?
I'm telling you, man. When I hit that, when I go through that across that track, man, the hair in the back of my neck just stands up.
Jeez.
But I don't go walking through Victory Lane. Oh no! That's respectful land there. You don't mess with that.
Holy ground.
Holy ground. You walk around.
The holy ground. That's it.
You don't walk through Victory Lane. You walk around it.
Don't get emotional on us, man.
That's respect.
You're gonna start tearing up here soon. Jeez.
Think who's been sitting in that Victory Lane?
Yeah.
I mean, AJ Hoyt was in there.
That's right.
That's amazing.
It is.
And Jeff Strunk was there. Billy Pouch.
Billy Pouch.
Howard. All of them. Greipel.
Greipel.
I mean, even Richard Petty was even in Victory Lane there. So, I mean, that's just sacred ground. And I have been in Victory Lane, though. Don't get me wrong.
And you have to remember all the deceased that have been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've earned my respect, and I have been in Victory Lane. Thank you, Sean Burke, with Billy Pouch Jr. We won the 2011 May 17th ARDC Midget Feature.
Good for you, Whip.
Yeah, so I did make it to Victory Lane. Mm-hmm. But I don't, when I'm there as an announcer, as a Victory Lane, I walk around it. I don't go through it.
Well, 51 years, there's been a lot of people there.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, it's like, you know, there's certain tracks, man. You're like, Sealands Grove. No, man. You don't go in back
there. That's where I enjoy racing more so. Like when we go, at the end of the year, we go to different tracks.
Mm-hmm.
The headaches, there is no headache.
Oh, you're witnessing it.
Right.
You're a fan.
You're a fan then.
Yep.
And it's great.
Then you be yelling, scream, and holler. Give them the shit like they give you.
Oh, yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. You don't go to any officials and grill it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you might be in the stands and say, well, what are you doing? Or
I mean, I don't
like
go
that.
To an official and say,
right.
I might say something in the stands or something. But
it's
enjoyable, and I can enjoy myself, and I ain't got
to
worry
adult,
about enough.
You adult beverages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing about being an official. You're actually a race fan, but you actually have to say in how the show runs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big difference there. I mean, there's some officials that are just there for the sake of getting in for nothing to watch the race. But if you're a real official, you're there as a fan, but you get the control of how the race is going on.
That's I'll be truly honest, and every official up there will. We got favorites. But when it comes to racing, you don't look at numbers. You're looking at a car. You're not looking at numbers. You're not looking at the driver. At least I don't, like, for a fact.
Yeah.
Right.
You did this. I don't care who you are. Jeff Strunk, Von Dorn, Howard, whoever. You screwed up, you're going to pay.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just... But for you guys, like, when you go to different checks, like, you guys go to Farmall Point and stuff, and you got to kind of just sit back and enjoy that and go, this is great.
I do. I enjoy going to other tracks. I mean, it's relaxing, you know?
You know, someone else is taking the crap.
And you know what? I don't like to see that because I do feel for them.
Yeah,
I mean, I go through it. I know exactly what it's about. You know, I have sympathy in dealing with it. When you're doing it every Saturday night, you know, and some nights you just want to throw in the towel and you're tired of it, and then the next week you come back and you have it all over again, and then you might have 2 weeks where, you know, everything runs real smooth. And for the most part, I have to be honest, for the most part, everything does run smooth. I mean, my drivers are very respectful of me, and, you know, if they're upset for, like I said before, you know, whatever happened, they have a reason to be upset, so be it. And they lash out, and I let them lash out, you know, to an extent of what they say they have to say, and then it's over. And I will say 99.9%. They'll come back and say they're sorry to me, to you.
Right.
And maybe to you, Eric. I can't speak for you, but, I mean, I know that they always usually come back if they've been
that's
disrespectful and they have said they're sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I understand it. Like I said, I get what they're going through on Saturday.
I mean, because Eric, what's your Saturday morning? I mean, do you do anything like as a routine before you go to Grandview on Saturday?
I try to get around the golf room first before I go.
Okay.
And then if there's anything I can do around my yard before I go, and then I'll go down to the races. I pick up Jeff, who works hard too, and we come down, and that's it.
And you guys are usually there early, and you're kind of like having a little tailgate in the parking lot.
Yep, we usually park right there where Tina comes up for her house. We sit right there in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there. We
got a routine.
We get there around 5 o'clock, 5:30.
Yeah.
Drink.
No.
Soda before the races.
Soda.
Oh, soda.
Sun kiss.
Soda before the races, of course.
Mm-hmm. But after, hey, are you? Neither one of you are part of the tech team.
No.
That's who we need now. No, you need a tech official. You got a tech official phone number?
I don't want anything to do with teching. I got nothing.
Yeah, I stay away from that. I have a friend of mine who's a car owner that I work with, and he's constantly asking me tech questions, and I can't answer any of them for him.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Better off that way.
I usually run the scale. If, mm-hmm. You know, I have been. I haven't ran into that. I have seen, though, and Mike's question was for those listeners, that if a car comes across the scale light, how many times do I let them go by? If we're not having scale issues or, you know, all night long, this scale's been running fine, you know, and it comes across like they may, I've already seen them come back around again, maybe mud on it, whatever, check it again. But once and done, that's it. You know, that's it. If everybody's been running, I mean, perfect. Today, actually, the scale, Gerhardt's were just up there today and did the scale, checked everything out for us up there, so the scale's ready to go. But, I mean, if nobody's having an issue all night long and then a car decides to come across and it's light, you know, the officials will look at it and see maybe why and, you know, all right, just take a lap around the pit. Pit off, just come back and get on it again. It's still light. Well, then there's a problem.
Yeah. We really don't have a problem with
it. But I never have
really don't have a problem with cars coming up light. Really don't.
And now with the new cinders in the pits, you can't go around the pits one time and gather mud because there ain't any.
No. You're right. You can't. But, I mean, you try to give them the benefit of the doubt because they could have came across, you know, they could have came up earlier because they thought they had scaling issues. Their scales may be different than our scales.
Right.
So they want to get it checked, and they may have came up earlier and it was right on or it was off at that point. So then when they come back for qualifying, you know, and something's iffy with it and it didn't make sense, and the officials already are aware of the fact that, you know what, it was fine earlier, but it's not now. Something happened, so they'll run them around again maybe one time, but no more than that. That would be the only time.
We really don't have a problem with weight.
I never had an issue with my scale.
No.
No.
Not at all. No. And this year for heat races, we're still going to kind of like have the same deal as last year with the guys in the top of the points starting the back of the feature of the heat.
Yeah, nothing's changing handicapping.
Nothing's changing in handicap. Now, that works good.
It does work good.
Yeah, we've tried many systems over the years. Mm-hmm.
And what you got now, it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I mean, we've listened to everybody and their brother as far as drivers and owners and, you know, try this, try that. And we have, you know, it's worth a try.
Right.
You know, you're never going to please everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But we've ran with the point system now, and that's how we handicapped, and everybody is happy with it. I really have no problems with anybody complaining about the way handicapping's done.
Yeah, because if you're in the top 10 in points, I mean, you know, you just got to run in your heat.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It ain't a give me to qualify at Grandview.
No,
not
no.
Even if you start on the pole.
You're absolutely right.
It ain't a give
me. It's not easy.
You know?
Mercy.
Well, thank you, by the way, for adding an extra 5 laps to the late models this year. We're going to take credit for that.
We're going to take credit for that. You know.
Well, don't thank me then. Thank yourself. I know a couple of drivers had, late model drivers had asked my dad, and I guess.
Thank you, Ms.
He called. They called. I know Chuck was one of them. Ron Klein.
Chuck was, yeah.
Yeah, they were asking for it. And
is Ron Klein racing this year?
I don't know if I already wasn't, but I don't know. I know last year there was
no till opening day.
Exactly. I don't count on nothing. There's all kinds of stuff that flies all winter long, and I don't believe anything till I see.
T27 could be there opening.
Because I still get a lot of
that.
Stuff
I doubt.
The
green sitting outside.
What was that, Eric?
I heard that he had a lot of his stuff up for sale at the end of the year, but I don't know if he got anything new to run. So.
Well,
yeah, I didn't see him anywhere. I didn't see him at the Reading Car Show. I haven't seen him off season at all to ask him. So I had heard he wasn't, but I can't confirm that. I didn't talk to him.
Well, Patina, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I have one of modified car owners works with me at Singer, and he's been asking me. He heard rumors that there was going to be a track tire this year. Is that true?
A track
tire? It was going to be a Grandview stamp on the tire and not BPG?
No, it's PBG.
Okay.
It's the same as last year.
I'm like, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything, but I wasn't sure. I couldn't confirm that.
Nothing for us has changed other than the late models running an additional
five laps.
Yeah. Everything else has stayed the same.
And the tire, how does that tire giveaway work every week from American Racer?
They have to sign through American Racer. Now, American Racer has brought on the late the sportsmen this year,
mm-hmm.
and their cost will be $30 to enter. The modifieds are $50, and then I get a list from them on what dates to do the tire draw. And it's just a draw. I do it in the pit office. If I have 14 guys who signed up, I put 14 balls in. I usually just pick somebody walking by the pit office, draw a ball. They'll pick a number. We'll write the number down. And then at intermission, whoever has signed up for it, the American Racer draw, I will then call all the drivers' names up to come draw for their tire. Whoever draws ball 12, that was a ball that was drawn, they get the free tire.
Oh, okay.
And now they brought the sportsman on board this year with that.
Now
tip.
You got to do it twice.
So now I have to do it twice. And then when you had the rain out, I was backed up there for a couple weeks. And then I just go over to Joe Jordan, and he sees that they get their free tire.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's nice that the American Racer.
Yeah, it's a nice give back.
It's a nice little give back, you know. And it's cool that they involved the sportsmen this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great. They do it. They have a great deal going on there with their tires.
Well, we're on tires. Mercy. When a driver has a flat tire, how many courtesy laps does he get?
Zero.
Yeah. Now I know we worked that out though with the Freedom Race. I think they
right,
got
the Freedom. We did, but not a normal Saturday
on
night.
On a regular Saturday night, if you don't beat the next
red light,
Mercy's light.
Mercy's right. light.
You're not
Mercy's light.
Now you
well,
can,
there's a yellow
if there's a yellow that comes out. Then you go back out.
Right.
A lot of times the guys will sit there and wait. If they get two laps in, then I send them back. Because you get two laps, and then you got to go back.
Forrest Rogers, I think they get a lap. I'm pretty sure for the Forrest, I think they get a lap for that race. And then the Sixer. They either get a lap or two.
This is something that I don't see a lot up in New York State is the alternate. That Grandview always, every week there's an alternate in case someone don't make. You don't see that up in New York a lot where they have an alternate.
Right, we draw for the alternates from the Concy, and if somebody, you know, can't make it out or something, then the alternate will go in. We usually set them in the infield, or, you know, if something happens, someone can't start that feature, and that alternate's sitting in the infield, then he gets into the show.
You know,
and that does happen during the year.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it happen
last
year.
It happened, I think it was last year or the year before, somebody was parked up, he was alternate and decided not to go out, and he lost the spot. He never decided. He didn't even take it in the infield, and we didn't have time to wait. He was already parked on the trailer, so we had to go green.
He was already in the trailer.
He was already on the trailer.
You never know.
You know.
Always be ready.
Yeah, always have
the I mean, I know they get stuck down there for the whole race, and you know, chances are they probably won't get in the show, but there's always that chance. You never know.
We want the alternate always to be parked down at Victory Lane.
Right.
That way,
I'll make
you
sure.
never know if they got to go out. Hey, if you...
And you're not holding the
somebody
show up.
Somebody couldn't either show up or something happened before the green, they're in the show.
Right. And, you know, that's $300.
I'm sorry.
It's $300 to take the green?
$255.
So, I mean, it's, you know, yeah. I mean, so that guy who was on the trailer gave away $255.
Right.
Fool.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I didn't think I was going to go out. I said, it's a chance. You don't have to go out if you're the first alternate.
Right.
You know, and you could say that I'm not going out. Well, then we would go to the second alternate, and then they could go out. But he just decided he wasn't going to go out at all, and it just happened to fall on a night that somebody wasn't able to start, and that would have put him in.
Well, they were actually on the track running around, and the car stopped, and he couldn't get it started.
And that's how he got in. Wow.
He would have got in if he'd been ready.
Yeah.
Wow.
How about the provisional? Can you go over the rule for getting a provisional in?
The provisional rules are, if you were top 10 in points going into that week, you can get a provisional. If you were a previous owner or driver in the top 10 from the year before, you can get a provisional.
Okay.
So any given night, somebody like Howard or Strunk, you know, they get the most they can get is three. They can
that's
get,
my next question.
So you get three provisionals.
Three a year.
Yeah. They do the top 10 in points going into that week. They got to be in those top 10 in points.
Okay.
And then they have their owners from the previous year and their drivers from
the previous year.
Yeah.
So no previous champions or anything like that. Oh, I hate to put you on the spot. Sorry.
I think that was for the big races. There may, for some reason, I'm thinking a champion once you have all that up in the pit office. I'm thinking there may have been a champion one, but I know that is for the Sixer for sure.
Yeah. But I didn't know how that worked on a regular Saturday night.
I'm sorry. Right. You're right. I think I do have a previous. I think there could be four a year they could get. I think there could be four. Definitely three, I'm sure of. I think there
definitely,
may be four.
So you're definitely yeah. three for the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there is a previous. I think there is a previous championship one too.
So, but can you can only use that three times?
Well, you can
or
only use them
that?
All once.
Once.
One time.
So you can. So,
so
how,
once you use your top 10, which is 10. The first one you would like to right. use, because if you fall out of that top 10, you don't get that back.
Then the next one is owners.
Well, you, either one. Then you can pick your owner or your driver.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now you change owners, of course.
That's what my next question is, because
yeah.
someone's going to be there this year who's not going to have no owner points.
Right.
Right.
So he won't get it.
He won't get that owner one.
So he's only going to have two.
Right.
Right.
But he's a past. Oh,
but he's
a past
champion. Right.
He's not the previous champion. He's a
right.
past
champion.
So he'll still have.
Yeah.
Right.
For the Sixer, we do the past 20 champions, past 25 years. For that.
I'm getting a headache.
I got it.
You to try to keep track of it all the time.
I'm glad you do. I'm glad you do. I don't want to keep track.
I don't.
It.
I rely on Jeff and Cindy a lot.
Oh,
trust
okay.
Me.
There you go.
Trunky's only got three.
I give them too all the credit in the world.
So how did that left turn fire on the infield to the pits? How did that rule come about?
Where you got to touch the left tire?
Yeah,
you got to touch
the
infield.
Maybe I can answer a little
you
better.
Probably
go ahead,
that's been a rule for a while, but I don't know how it came
if
about.
If you make a right-hand turn coming off of turn one, you will get hung up on that bank. The
okay.
cars are so low. There's a ramp. It's actually like a little ramp there. You will get hung up. And then we're going to have to throw a yellow. You got to at least get three tires on that infield. Two for sure. Touch that infield, or you will not make that swing and you get in there.
Uh-oh.
Now, if you're coming from turn three, two, you come straight in, no problem.
Right.
They come through that infield like a bat out of hell sometimes.
Well,
but I've seen some guys get past the pit gate and then like gun it and like spin it around and go up,
right?
And not touch the infield.
Then they're
that's not cool with you.
Nope, they got to touch
nope.
at least two tires on the infield.
We won't mention no car numbers.
I'm not mentioning any names.
Oh, that's
yeah.
That's,
and then if they do that, then they don't come back out then for the rest of that heat or whatever. It
oh,
is.
Really? Yeah. He parks.
Yeah.
Them.
Yeah, they're parked.
I think that came down.
The cars, they can get hung up there. I mean, it's just the way that knob is on the top. You're going to get hung up.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I mean, but because yeah, if you don't come off the front straightaway at the starter stand, you don't go through the infield.
Right.
You don't get that angle.
Right.
You know, and it's all about the ankle.
Yes.
To get up the hump. Right. You know.
I mean, I've had guys that come down in front of me that all they do is they just get into the, there's like a little gully from where the cinder part of it starts and where the racetrack, they'll put their tires in there in the mud. And as long as they're touching the cinders with those, the left side of the tires, they can still make it up around that corner. And I don't have a problem with that. That's still touching the infield in my book.
Okay, so you make that call.
You know, if I see it, Larry can see it when he's up there, and Mercy can see it pretty well.
Yeah. We got
I
that
mean,
pretty
I'm
well
pretty much
–
yeah, we got that pretty well covered with the three of us.
Interesting. How do you guys like the new – seeing how both of you have been there now for 2012, the guardrail now. You like the guardrails?
I like to see guardrail all the way around.
Really?
Yeah, I would love to have the guardrail all the way around.
Keep them on the track, not on the infield.
You'd like to have the guardrail in turn one also, Eric?
Yeah, absolutely. I get a lot of late models throwing their nose into the infield, and what they're doing is they're digging it up so bad, and they're throwing the rocks that are into the cinder part, the real big ones, and those things come sailing right at your head, and you're ducking quite a bit all night long. And I just wish we would get the guardrail so they could stay out of there.
Hear that, Tina?
I took notes.
Hey, can you put that in the suggestion box?
Yeah.
It definitely helped putting it going 2 and 4. It definitely made a difference in the racing.
Oh, yeah. Because I remember being when it wasn't there and then now there, and it's made a lot better racing. You know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'd rather have guardrail than have a jersey barrier.
Yeah.
Because when they had the jersey barriers up at Big Diamond, I wasn't real nuts about that up there.
No, because there was nowhere to go.
It takes away the inside lane. They really can't run on the inside lane. Because they're just bumping into that barrier. I mean, with the guardrail being up high enough, they could still get their tires underneath where they're at, and they could still run that bottom lane.
Yeah, maybe Dwayne wanted the so-called drilled Howard in the back then. You know.
You mean Varen?
Varen, yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, they beat that guardrail up.
Oh, dude.
That guardrail is all beat up.
I'm in turn three. I see turn four. I see him hit that guardrail. You know? And it's, I mean, I think it's a good move. I like it, you know. I like it. What do you think about, like, small cars at Grandview, Mertz? You like them? Like the micro sprints and the 600 modifieds? You like getting them small cars racing there?
I don't know.
I don't like the small cars at Grandview. They're too small for Grandview. You know? The micro sprints.
Yeah, that's like running Daytona for them.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I think it's too much track.
Yeah, nothing. I'm not bashing because Mike, slingshots are too small there too. You know.
Say what you want. I don't care.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I mean, those sidewinder sprints that we had there last year,
yeah.
I didn't have a problem with them because they got around there pretty well.
Yeah.
But when you get to the 600 mods, the 600 sprints, the micros, it's just too much.
Yeah,
I think it's just too big.
We need to put a GoPro camera on you and Mercy one Saturday night. You know that those GoPro.
I love that.
You
yeah,
know?
I love that.
Mine would
that'd
get
be cool.
Broke.
Yeah, I think
mine would get broke.
You know, you. I mean, because you're there for the USAC, man, and you, Eric, you see him whacking them in at the starter stand.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, they're completely. I mean, they're. I can look at the driver's eyes when they're coming through the corner. I mean, that's how sideways they are.
Picking
up that front end, oh my God, yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
I mean, there's times I wish I still had my camera going yet.
See,
when they're there, but.
Let's say, take your camera one night.
Sorry, I didn't see what happened. I was taking
pictures.
Yeah.
So neither one of you seen Coma Golic go through the barrier, the billboard last year then?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see that, Mercy? I missed it.
I saw him going. I just turned around in time to see him going, and I saw him go through and over. Yeah, I didn't see where he ended up, but I definitely saw where he was going.
I heard stuff going through the woods.
I can't believe he got out of the car so fast.
Oh well,
because the car was hung up in the trees.
That's because he's from Binghamton. You know, we know how to get out of trees quick. But that's the first. Have you ever seen a car there? Go out there.
No, not
that's the first time for me, man. I mean,
that's the first time I ever saw someone go all the way out that way. I thought he was heading down to the bus shed down on 100.
Yeah, I thought he was going down there to 100 for sure.
Yeah, I don't like when they flip over there on 1 or 2 up near me. I get a little scared when they're up hanging in the fence there.
Well, yeah, and then you got to scatter for parts too because parts are flying.
Yeah,
you know. So Eric, what's your favorite part about doing every Saturday night at Grandview? Would you change your spot? Are you
no.
No?
I would never change my spot. I love turn one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the thrill of the speed. That's one.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I like working with the people I work with down there. I wouldn't change a thing.
And the hecklers, don't forget the hecklers over in the grandstand. You know?
Oh, yeah, I got them over there, too. So, that's fine.
What about you, Mark? Love your spot?
I love it.
Love it? Wouldn't change it?
Nope.
You just wish you could have a switch for that light?
Nope. I don't want no switch. Not even close.
Not even close, huh? Nope. So, Linda, now, Bert,
wait, you're not going to ask me if I like my spot?
You got it made. You got heat. You got air conditioning.
Yeah.
You are it. You are the queen of that mountain. Without a doubt.
You know, I just need a little cubby hole I can climb into sometimes.
Yeah. Do you like to last, you know, how do you organize that pits? You know?
As far as what do you mean?
Like Saturday.
First 2 weeks are usually hectic.
I just don't understand
they know where they go. They go to the same spot every week.
And they know.
They know.
What about the guys who show up late? And you got to squeeze them down in through
they
there.
They get in. If they get in their spot, that's fine. If not, they're going to have to go to the hole.
Okay.
I mean. Right.
Well, they were already asking you for spots at the banquet, weren't they, Murphy?
Oh, yeah. They started on the cruise.
Funny.
They tried, but I.
Tell them no. 50s, 100s, man. That's the only way.
I wouldn't start that.
Yeah. We have a caller?
No.
they left, but they didn't want us. We're not. Oh yeah, go ahead, Joey. We need stickers, Joe. We need stickers. This is four.
We'd like to thank our good friends at Carmelo's Pizzeria for another fine food delivery. Carmelo's Pizza of Boyertown, Pennsylvania will deliver up to a 6-mile radius, so call in your order for pizza, bowlies, wings, and hoagies, and take advantage of the free delivery service. Call Carmelo's Pizza. They can be reached at 610-367-5400 or 610-367-1900. Be sure to tell them the gang from Lowdown and Dirty sent you there.
Come on, Joe. Get it together.
Okay.
Well, you
I just want to point out that my co-hosts here in the show are assholes. I'm just getting it out there. All right.
That'd be Mister.
Also, like to thank our good friends at Diamond Disposal LLC. Diamond Disposal offers a wide variety of disposal services, including residential to commercial weekly service, roll-off dumpster service, competitive pricing, and special contracting rates. Diamond Disposal Service serves Berks County and surrounding areas. For competitive rates and prop-friendly service, please call Diamond Disposal at 610-845-1117 or visit them on the web at www.diamonddisposalllc.com. And don't forget, to our loyal listeners of Lowdown and Dirty, Diamond Disposal has been kind enough to offer a one-month free trash removal if you sign on with Diamond Disposal and mention that you heard about this promotion right here on Lowdown and Dirty. So get the fine folks at Diamond Disposal a call and see what kind of savings they have for you. Again, the phone number is 610-845-1117. Don't let your cash go out with the trash. Call Diamond Disposal.
Yeah.
There you have it.
Right. Brilliant, Joey. Joey gets a clap. You really passed the clap out once tonight, and you got it. Really good. All right. We'll have Lowdown and Dirty stickers for you at Granby's practice this weekend, folks. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, Miss Teen, are you ready for an opening after practice? I mean, what kind of glitches do you usually work out for practice? Do you have, like, glitches or anything?
You know, that's where we find our glitches, if we have any, you know. Hopefully we don't, you know. We have a sound guy up there testing everything, but it never fails. Come opening day, something goes. Something. You know, you have this. You know,
it's a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, right. It is what it is. I mean,
I know my routine. I mean,
you know, things happen. You know, the grader's working fine. They're on the track. The other day, I was down at the house, and I'm tuned into it. I've heard it for so many years, yeah. I'm just tuned into it. And even down there, like I said, I don't hear nothing, but I swear I heard that grader running. And I had to go open my front door, and sure enough, it was on there, you know. So, you know, the equipment's running, but you never know what's going to happen come race day.
And people can get season tickets?
Season tickets, yep. They can still get their season tickets. They're $335. They can still pick their seats. Yep.
$335, that's a bargain. Mm-hmm. And that gets you into every Saturday night.
Saturday night, including the big races.
Yep, the Sixer.
Yep, Forest, the Sixer.
And the Forest Riders, what are we doing for the Forest Riders this year? Anything different? Are we going to, like you did last year, 10 grand and 20 grand, or just 10 grand?
Well, right now, we're...
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
No, you're not throwing me under the bus. No, we're not doing the 20. That was an extra
perk
for our drivers, for the dedication that they gave us all summer long for our 50th. There'll probably be an increase in it. What it is yet, I don't know. You know, that'll be announced when they decide. I was hoping to have that information tonight, but actually didn't get to talk to my mom about it. So it's still their sandbox, so, you know, they make the call.
Thanks.
And, yep.
Make
you're
sure
just
you go home
it.
And thank
oh, what, right, I just follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom 76, pay all. That went up.
The 76er went up to 25. Yep.
That's good money.
20 to 25 for 76.
I don't care what you say. Last year's Sixer was...
That was a good race. Our twin 35s. I'm kind of excited
to
see that.
Because I've never seen one of these.
I
got to
do TV that night.
Yeah.
I was pumped when I saw that on the schedule.
What's that?
I don't like them.
I said I was pumped when I saw that on the schedule, Tina. That's great. I'm glad these guys are bringing that back.
Yeah, I thought it would
Mercy,
be a good thing to bring
wrong,
back.
What's wrong, Mercy?
Why don't you like them, Mertz?
It's just more headaches up at the gate.
The fans like them, I think.
Yeah, the fans love them.
Yeah.
Something we haven't.
And you got you got the TRSS or RSSS whatever sprints.
Yeah.
They're coming in
August 25th.
I'm looking forward to that show.
They're coming on. Yeah, they weren't on the schedule. We added them last minute at a motorsports.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because every time I mention about the Grandview schedule people and that show comes up, we talk about that show. He goes, well, it's not on the schedule. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, everything, things get changed. And Ernie will send me, the latest updated schedule that it's on. And, it'll be in the racing papers and he'll make his announcements on the PA system about it.
There's another question. We're advertising in the race paper. That's, you have to have that in there every week.
An area?
Yeah.
Yeah, we advertise an area every week.
And some racetracks don't do it, and I don't understand why they don't.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure.
You know how many people read the Area Auto Racing News?
And now that they went to the digital, yeah. I tried to get on that today. I don't know if something was wrong with my password. Yeah. I wasn't accepting it. But, yeah, that's phenomenal that they did that. I mean, that's great to be able to read everything Tuesday now and, find out what's going on at your local track. But
I still want my paper in the mailbox on Thursday, damn it.
My mailman reads mine. I don't get it until Friday.
Bring Tina back she was Miss Grandview years ago.
Oh, no.
Bring her back.
Oh.
Ooh, listen, Eric.
Yeah. I'll pass on that.
Yeah. Well, listen, Eric, we want to say thanks for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, that was cool. I mean, I got mad respect for you there on the turn one.
See you, buddy.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
We'll see you Saturday.
Yep, I'll see you Saturday.
All right. Eric Gambler. See, I called him Eric. I don't know where Kevin came from earlier. I don't know where the hell that one came from. I don't know. I was thinking.
I don't know.
So let's hope we have good weather Saturday for Grandview practice.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
I'm jacked. I'm ready.
Oh, glad he is.
Yeah, practice is a little bit easier for me than opening day. It's just, it takes a while to get into the flow of things again.
Oh, it don't.
Well, for some of us.
I'm ready.
And each year the mind goes a little further away. And did I do that last year? Yeah, you did. Okay.
And just think, we'll be able to grill on the hill.
Yeah.
Thanks to Bounce. No, Bounce, you're not going to New York. I don't care what anybody says. We need you here. They can have, Matt Shepard can have the little, what's the little little baby Bounce?
Mini-me.
Yeah, little baby mini-me.
Mini-me.
Yeah. So,
and Cow Patty Nation will be out there, I'm sure.
Yep, Cow Patty Nation. We got all kinds of nations. So Saturday at 12 o'clock?
Gates open at 9 and practice starts at 12.
Twelve to four?
Well, they usually run till they get done. They filter out between 4 and 5. And yeah.
All right. Free to the public.
Free to the public, yeah.
You can pick your, even if you don't buy a season's pass, you can pick out your favorite seat.
Yep.
For April 6th, because you should be there. I don't know what you're thinking if you're not.
All your fans out there, come out there and take a look at the track bring a friend. Bring somebody from the neighborhood that's never been to the races and get them out there. And they don't have to put money down to see the cars. And you might get another fan out of it. That'd be great.
And you could go visit the drivers after the races on opening night.
That's right.
You can't do that in baseball.
No.
I
can't go down and see Ryan Howard. I can't do that.
That's one nice thing with racing. You go back in the pits afterwards and go right to the drivers.
And the little kids love that.
Yeah.
I just, after the end of the night, that makes my night, man, watching the little kids run around. Because that was me 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Not 29.
Can't help you're older than me, Whit.
I'm older than you, can't help, bro. That's just the way it goes. But you're a good looking 29.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So that's it. We're ready. We're ready. It's opening season at Grandview Speedway.
Well, thanks for having me.
Elbows up.
Thank you, Mertzi. Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Eric. Very good. We don't know what we're doing for next week yet.
Oh.
Maybe we'll. I'll tell you what.
Kevin enough, you might as well have Kevin Albert.
Hey, he ran good last week. He ran good. Let's try to get the winner from the Doug Hoffman 60 over special.
Okay, let's plan on that. And if that doesn't work,
we'll pull some. Yeah, we'll get the winner of practice.
Yes, it's time for practice.
Yeah, we'll get the winner of Grandview practice.
He can talk about practice.
Yeah, we just talk practice. No game, I'm franchise here. Franchise. All right, folks. For Joe Adams, for Scotty, for Tammy, for Mike, for Mrs. A, for Mertzi, for Tina, thank you very much for listening to Low Down and Dirty. We will have stickers Saturday at Grandview Speedway for you.
No pressure, Joe.
No pressure, Joe. Get the printer going. And thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week on Low Down and Dirty. Thank you.
Good night.